Good morning, nerds. I have your nerd brief for August 12th right here. My name is Troy Stegner, and I'm going to fill you in on all the nerding news for today, Sunday. It's a light news day, it looks like. Shouldn't take long unless I start rambling. And if I do, just yell at me in the chat room. Let's start with statues. Sideshow Collectibles. They have a couple of King of Fighters statues coming out by Gantaku Anime. They're relatively reasonably priced, $149 for the statue. They do have payment plans for that. This one is Kaio Kusanagi. And again, if I'm pronouncing it wrong, please just yell at me. It is on pre-order. Estimated arrival is, you know, end of 2018 to February 2019. This guy is from King of Fighters 97, the video game. It is a resin PVC type statue. So it's not the polystone, it's more, which is why it's less expensive. It's more the PVC style. It is a little over 10 inches tall, so it's not as big as the other premium ones either. But this, if you're a Street Fighter fan, or a King of Fighters fan, this is a really nice detailed piece. I think it would go good in your collection, especially if your collection is pressed for space. After you get so many, you know, we have so many statues that fit in one spot. I told you there was another one, the King of Fighters collection. This one is also by Gantaku Anime. It's Iori Yagami. $149 also on pre-order. Same estimated arrival time, December 2018 to February 2019. It is also the PVC resin. A little over 10 inches tall for this one also. Another really detailed piece. Would look really good right next to your Kyo piece. They're both really nice. If you're into King of Fighters 97, these might be for you. Look them up on Sideshow. I'll have links below in the comments. Okay, we're going to go to a little more pricey one now. We have the Iron Spider-Man suit, like you saw in Avengers Infinity War, when Peter Parker followed Tony up into space when they went to go fight Thanos. It's the suit that has all the little arms off of it. Really iconic looking suit. He never wore it long in the comics, but it had a lasting impression on people. This one is by Iron Studios. It's a 1/4 legacy replica. Really, if you know anything about Iron Studios and Sideshow, most of their stuff is very, very detailed. This one's selling for $800. They have a payment plan. It's on pre-order. Estimated arrival April 2019 to June 2019. Being a 1/4 scale, it puts it just a little over 2 feet. It looks like it's 25 inches high. It is made out of polystone, so it's a true statue. It is based on the Infinity Wars version of Iron Spider suit. Hand-painted. Here's the kicker again. I told you before they're doing a lot of light up stuff with the LEDs. This one, the one head with the mask on it, the eyes light up. Operated by battery. Doesn't say if it's got an AC plug or not. I don't see anything in the pictures. But at least you got the light up eyes there. And it has a second head with the supposedly Tom Holland likeness. I am looking at it here. It looks vaguely like Tom Holland. Typically, the Iron Studios stuff is spot on. With this one, they just didn't capture Tom Holland's complete likeness. It looks kind of like him, but not completely. They usually do a better job. I'm not happy with that head. I don't think I would use it. I would keep the masked head on if it were me. Still a really nice piece. All the rest of it is just perfect. So if you liked Avengers Infinity War and you love the Iron Spider suit, check this one out. I will have a link in the comments. Vertigo Games. They released a trailer for their new upcoming game called A Fisherman's Tale. This game is a virtual reality title from Innerspace VR. It's kind of a weird, surreal puzzle type game. Basically, you got this fisherman puppet who is trying to get back up to the lighthouse with the help of all his little friends, puppet friends and toy friends and everything there at the lighthouse, so he could light the lighthouse light to keep people from wrecking on the rocks. Looks like a good game. I haven't ever played the VR, but this is coming out in the fall for PlayStation VR, HTC Vive, Oculus Rift, and Windows Mixed Reality VR. It's coming out on quite a few platforms. If you like the very stylized puzzle type games, with it, it looks like it's got that cutesy factor. This game, I think I would definitely give it a try just because I've never played a VR game. And I would love to see how that plays out. So look that up, Fisherman's Tale by Vertigo Comics. Speaking of comics, or I'm sorry, Vertigo Comics, is by Vertigo Games. Now we're going over to comics. I told you the other day about DC Comics Black Label, where they're going to be putting more of their adult-related titles on. Well, they just announced Greg Rucka is going to be doing a Lois Lane comic. Lois Lane, back in when she came out, I think she had about a 20-year run with her own title. Well, kind of subtitled. It was Lois Lane, Superman's girlfriend. So, what can you do? Now she's getting her own title, written by Greg Rucka. It was announced at South by Southwest. Greg Rucka, not a bad writer. I would love to see him make Lois Lane relevant again. I don't see anything about the title besides Lois Lane, Girl Reporter. I hope they don't go with that title. We already know she's a girl and a reporter. How about just calling it Lois Lane? Anyway, Lois Lane in the comics. Currently, if you've been reading the comics, she and Jonathan Kent, which is her son with Clark Kent, Superman, went with his father, Jor-El. That's a whole nother story. Jor-El is still alive. He didn't die with Krypton blowing up. But she went with Jor-El up into space. But then you find out later, no, she's actually in Chicago writing a kiss-and-tell book about her and Superman. And I don't know. I'm not sure where they're going with that. But Lois Lane comic book, cross your fingers, Greg Rucka does her justice. Especially since they did bring her back for Rebirth, then killed her like one or two issues later. Lois Lane just can't get a break. Hopefully they have a good story and that people pick up on the story and want to read it. Looking at some of the promo art, I like the art. Let's see if Greg Rucka can pull it off and bring her back to prominence. Speaking of coming back to prominence, Charmed. If you guys ever watched the old Charmed series with Alyssa Milano and Holly Combs, Brenda from 90210, Shannon Doherty, who was later replaced by Rose McGowan, I believe. It's a story about three sisters. They're witches, and their power is derived from their love for each other, the power of three. They end up every week defeating a new demon or some other threat to the earth, most specifically around San Francisco. They are making a reboot on Charmed. Instead of bringing, carrying on where they left off with the original Charmed, they're just going to reboot it. And I can understand their reasoning. The original Charmed had a good ending. Everybody had their happy ending. You got to see into their futures a little bit, so they're all happily ever after. Why bring them back? Why not just start again with three new sisters, which they did. The original Charmed, all their names started with P. You had Piper, Phoebe, and all the other names. These looks like they're all going to start with M. You have Meg and Maggie. And anyway, they're all it looks like different ethnicities, a little Latin mixed in there. The mother, I believe, is of Latin descent, but there's three different fathers, so they all have slightly different ethnicities. Supposedly, the script is really good for this one. I love the idea of the power of the three. When I first discovered Charmed, it had already been out for probably 8 seasons or so. I think it went for over 10, 12 seasons. This was before Netflix also. I ran out and bought all the seasons on DVD, and I binged them over a period of about a month. It was amazing. If you haven't watched Charmed, a lot of stuff branched off of that also. You had Angel and Faith and a couple other things spun out of Charmed. This is set to premiere on October 14th on the CW. Like I said, CW is just killing it with their lineup lately. If you liked the original Charmed, you might want to check this out, see if it holds up to the old one. If you didn't watch the old Charmed, you don't need to. You can start right in with this one and still not be lost. Maybe it'll get you interested in seeing the older Charmed. So let's just see if they do justice to the first iteration of Charmed. Okay, Wonder Woman number 52. They solicited variant covers, which were DC's doing this whole travel poster type variant covers now. And when we ordered our copies of Wonder Woman number 52 variant, it looked like a postcard you would have sent from this one that says, "Come visit sunny Mexico." Us being near the border, we ordered pretty heavy on that because it's got Mexico on the cover. It's a really cute cover too. It looks like the old travel posters, you know, with Wonder Woman under umbrella with a beach ball, the little Aztec temple in the background. It's just an awesome looking variant cover. Well, when they came in, guess what? They had taken off the "Come visit sunny Mexico" part on the top. No explanation why, didn't tell anybody, but you know, that was the main reason we ordered so heavy on them, and a lot of the comic retailers in the South, same thing. They are asking DC if these are going to be returnable since they solicited something that they didn't actually provide. The cover's still cute. It doesn't have as much relevance anymore without the "Come visit sunny Mexico." It just looks like a travel poster with the Mexico stuff on it. So we will see if they're going to take those back or not, or why DC decided to change it without telling anybody. Kind of a bait and switch thing. So if you got your copy, just realize it was supposed to say "Come visit sunny Mexico" on it. Riverdale. They are going back. I guess season three got approved. Season three is also going to go back and show a lot of the parents as they were when they were younger. So they had to cast younger versions of those characters. What's interesting is Mark Consuelos, who is playing Hiram Lodge, the person they cast to play the younger version of himself, his son. Yeah, 21-year-old Michael Consuelos will be playing the younger Hiram Lodge. That kid is just, I mean, he's blessed. His father's Mark Consuelos, his mom is Kelly Ripa. He's destined to be in show business somehow or another. The third season of Riverdale will come back on October 10th on, you guessed it, CW. That channel is just a powerhouse right now with their shows. So if you want to see how the parents on Riverdale started out, you might want to check out season three. Okay, Spider-Man, they're doing Edge of Spider-Geddon. It seems like they just take any part of a word and put it after spider anymore and make a mini series out of it. The Spider-Geddon is going to cover all the other different versions of Spider-Man and other versions of characters also, because we're looking at Kang the Conqueror is going to get an alternate version, I believe, from Earth 138. He is Kang the Conglomerator. So he, instead of world domination, he went around and is taking, getting the rights, the future rights to people's likeness. Into there, this here we go. Owning the life rights, identity, image, merchandising rights, and all intellectual properties associated with said characters. So he's making money selling t-shirts with them on it, and obviously he's doing well. He's still traveling around with his suit on. But he's coming back in this first Spider-Geddon for Hobie Brown, who is Spider-Punk. If you're not familiar with Spider-Punk, that's the version of Spider-Man that looks like a punk rocker. He's got the spikes on his head and the denim jacket with the ripped off sleeves and spikes on the shoulder. Exactly what you would think when you say Spider-Punk. So Spider-Geddon 1, you know, Kang the Conglomerator is coming back to take all his rights, the licensing rights for Spider-Punk, and he wants to bring him back to the future to help do that. If you're into that kind of alternate universe Spider-Man stuff, Spider-Geddon is going to be one you'll want to check out. August 15th, which is going to be the very next comic book day, is coming Wednesday. You can pick that up off the shelves at your local comic book store. Another title you might want to look at picking up at your local comic store soon. Let's see what the date is. It's also August 15th. So you'll be able to pick two great titles up. It's going to be Injustice versus Masters of the Universe. They've been doing a lot of these crossover mashups in the past, and they've been met with mixed reviews. The Batman Ninja Turtles ones were good. Justice League Suicide Squad wasn't bad, but now they're just Masters of the Universe is crossing over with a ton of people. Basically, He-Man is coming back to his mother's home world here to save it from a despotic ruler. Guess who that is? You'll never guess. It's Superman. I just told you. All kinds of other stuff going on. You know, Batman is planning an invasion of Oracle to stop the Suicide Squads and blah, blah, blah. And then Zatanna and Swamp Thing are over on Eternia. And this whole universe crossover thing is just really messing everyone up. It's a... don't believe it's canon, so don't have to worry about that. But if you like reads like that, this Wednesday you can pick that up off the shelf. 32 pages, a little longer than normal. So I'm hoping that's not mostly ads, that's actual story. Injustice versus Masters Universe, basically He-Man versus Superman here in that first issue. Pick it up. At least get the first one. Here's a name I didn't think I would utter anytime soon, except for telling you that they went to jail. Shia LaBeouf. Yeah, haven't heard anything about him since he had a couple brush-ups with the law again. He's back making movies. That's good. I think he's a talented actor. Not so much as a person. He's a little whacked out there in his personal beliefs, for my taste. But as an actor, I think he does well. They're making a movie called The Tax Collector. I can't find much about that movie, a plot or anything else, just basically who has been cast so far. David Ayer is going to be the producer. He worked with Shia before on Transformers, so he's already familiar with his eccentricities. They've been keeping it very quiet on what this movie's about, but they did post a picture of Shia LaBeouf. It looks like he's sitting here with his denim shorts on and some work boots, tatted all up, sunglasses, a cup of coffee, and a cigarette. Just looks like a dirtbag type of guy. I'm guessing he's the title character of the tax collector. Maybe it's something to do with him going around and extorting money from people. I don't know. That's a guess. Like I said, they haven't released anything. I like David Ayer, and I really like Shia LaBeouf as an actor. So this tax collector, I'm kind of waiting to hear more about it before I form an opinion. Tom Clancy, Back in the day, Tom Clancy books were just flying off the shelves. I'm not sure he's writing as much now as he used to, because he's busy with them turning most of his books into movies or TV series now. So we're going to get Amazon is working on a series based on Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan. The person they're getting to play Jack Ryan, it was Harrison Ford in the previous movies that they made. This TV series, they're pulling in John Krasinski. You probably remember him from The Office or the more recently A Quiet Place, the movie. He's a great actor. He's been getting into a little producing himself. I think he's helping the showrunner. Yeah, he serves as executive producer on this one. It is going to be about Jack Ryan, the CIA guy who eventually, if you've spoiler, if you haven't read Clancy's books, he actually becomes president at one point. The Jack Ryan series, they were always really good. I take that back. I think one of the Baldwin guys played Jack Ryan in Hunt for Red October. So it wasn't always Harrison Ford. John Krasinski has been surprisingly good in dramatic roles after seeing his Jim in The Office for so many years. This first season, I believe they already started working on the second season. The first season of Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan will be released August 31st on Amazon. And season two is set to come out in 2019, so they must be working on them concurrently. Kind of interested to. I like the Jack Ryan series. I hope they do well. I mean, they already have two seasons. Amazon is trying to step up their streaming game to compete with everyone else. Oh, here's another throwback. Who here doesn't like Mary Poppins? Raise your hand. Okay, nobody should have raised their hand. Mary Poppins was amazing, even without Yondu giving that throwback reference in Guardians of the Galaxy. They're making Mary Poppins Returns based on the books. They were actually books before they were a movie. P.L. Travers was the author. It was seven or so books they wrote, mostly focused around Mary Poppins and her gang of cohorts. This new Mary Poppins Returns is going to have Emily Blunt. I'm guessing she's going to be the main character. Colin Firth, Meryl Streep, and here's the one I like, Dick Van Dyke. Yeah, the guy's still alive. He's in his 90s, I believe. He won't be playing the chimney sweep anymore. Jack, I believe the name was. Dick Van Dyke will be playing Mr. Dawes Jr., chairman of the Fidelity Fiduciary Bank. So, that's a little throwback. Dick Van Dyke, if you watched the original, was the chimney sweep guy. Had quite a few of the more iconic songs in there. Dick Van Dyke is a Hollywood treasure. I'm just glad that they're actually bringing him back as a little nod. Angela Lansbury will also be in Mary Poppins Returns as the Balloon Lady, which is a character you didn't get to see in the original, but it's from the books. This is set to come out in theaters. It's going to be a movie. Theaters December 25th. Oh, they're going to pull it out on Christmas? A Christmas opening for Mary Poppins Returns. That might actually be interesting because I never have anything to do on Christmas. I might actually go and watch Mary Poppins Returns. You know me, I like a good musical. This one should fall right in place with all the other musicals I'm going to have to buy and put in my collection. Okay, Sharks. Yeah, this isn't going to be about the Meg. This is a different shark movie. 47 Meters Down, The Next Chapter. If you watched the original 47 Meters Down, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, guys. You can't get that time back. You've already wasted it. They're making a sequel. 47 Meters Down, Next Chapter. These girls are on vacation in Brazil. They're all unrelated to each other, don't know each other, I guess. But they all are those thrill seeker type. They hear about an underwater, undersea civilization, I guess old buildings and stuff under the sea. They want to go check it out, but guess what? That's where these really deadly killer sharks are living. So, guess what happens? Yeah, I'm sure they're going to get attacked by the sharks. 47 meters down, the next chapter is going to be in theaters. And, oh, my thing just restarted. It'll be in theaters June 28th of 2019. I suggest not going to the theater to watch it. Maybe not even the Dollar Cinema, maybe Redbox that one if you must see it. Sonic the Hedgehog. We got two more casting announcements off of this. Adam Pally and Neil McDonough joins the cast of Sonic the Hedgehog. You might not know these guys. You know them by face, maybe not by name. Neil McDonough, he was in Captain America: First Avenger. He was also in the Arrow TV show. He's been in quite a few of those roles that you just don't know him by name, but when you see his face, you go, "Oh yeah, I remember him." Sonic the Hedgehog has also cast Jim Carrey as Dr. Robotnik. It's going to be crazy. All these names: James Marsden as Tom Wachowski. This is going to be a mix of live action and CGI. Similar to, I would guess, a Roger Rabbit, where you're going to have actual people interacting with CGI'd characters. This film is coming out November 15th, 2019. Sonic the Hedgehog keeps adding more and more big name actors. These guys, I'm hoping this Sonic launches into a series of movies. I actually like cartoon movies, but that's me. I'm a child. Idris Elba. We talked about him the other day, possibly being the next James Bond. Well, in the meantime, he's still working. He's going to be in another movie called Ghetto Cowboy. It is a Ricky Staub feature direct. It's his debut de directorial. His first movie is what that actually means. Is about a 15-year-old kid who's forced to live with his dad in Philadelphia. Not the good part of Philadelphia. You know, they're not doing well money-wise, and they're in a bad part of town. And then he finds this Riders of North Philly, these guys who bond over riding horses and stuff. And he becomes basically an urban cowboy. So I'm guessing it's going to have a lot to do with the relationship with his father getting better because of this, and blah blah blah. Anyway, yeah, Elba will be Idris Elba. Just about everything he's in is good. He's also going to be in the new Fast and Furious Hobbs and Shaw spinoff. He's going to be the main villain, and he's working on a couple other little things like Hunchback of Notre Dame for Netflix, and he's keeping busy until they announce if he's going to get James Bond or not. He's keeping busy. You know, he's gotta pay the bills. Still making movies. Speaking of movies, or actually documentaries, this guy, you either love him or you hate him. I don't believe there's any in between gray area. He does make very thought-provoking documentaries. Yeah, they're entertaining, if nothing else, is Michael Moore. He is making another documentary. This one is going to be Fahrenheit 11/9. It is it's an expose, I guess, on Donald Trump. He's 11/9 is the date supposedly that Trump was announced as president. So that's why he's using the Fahrenheit 11/9 as a play on words from his Fahrenheit 9/11. He's keeping it close to the vest of what's in it. But we do know he said it's pretty much a expose on the presidency of Donald Trump. We will see when this comes out, September 21st. I'm sure it'll be very controversial, as all of his stuff is. It will probably do well at the box office, like all of his stuff does. I imagine there's going to be a huge backlash from the political right about this. and probably a outpouring of support from the political left. What are you going to do? I'm just going to watch it because usually it has some entertaining stuff in it. Whatever you find in these documentaries, any documentary, not just his, fact check it. Any documentary, don't just believe the people blindly. Do the if it doesn't sound right, it's probably not right. Do your fact checking. That's all I can say on that matter. Okay, Netflix has announced a new spring break related trailer for their. Is this a movie or is it going to be a series? I'm guessing it's going to be a series. It's called The Package. It's I watched the trailer. The trailer, that's my kind of humor. I don't want to have, I'm not highbrow humor. Just make me laugh. This does it. These five teens go on a spring break camping trip. They get out in the middle of the woods about 6 miles or so in, and they're getting hammered on beer and liquor, and the one guy somehow accidentally cuts his penis off. Yeah. In the middle of nowhere in the woods. So the whole thing centers on them trying to get him medevaced out to the hospital. They accidentally give the wrong cooler to the medevac, so they show up at the hospital with a cooler full of beer. They are trying to get the actual cooler back into the city from where they're at, 6 miles out in the woods. They run into a lot of problems getting there, of course. That's the comedy part of it. The trailer, if you haven't seen it, look it up. You know, Package on Netflix. It was, I laughed through the whole trailer. It's going to be available August 10th. Hey, that's already available. So that was available 2 days ago. You can actually go and watch The Package right now on Netflix, which after I get done doing this, I think I might just go and start watching The Package. From the creators of Workaholics and Tropic Thunder to my favorite shows, a movie and a show, I guess. Check out The Package on Netflix. Also on Netflix, The Santa Clarita Diet Season 3. If you haven't watched this, this one took me by surprise when I watched it the first season. Drew Barrymore and Tim Oliphant are married. Something happens to Drew Barrymore, which she basically becomes a zombie. You don't find out during season one what caused it, but it's Tim Oliphant is so dedicated to her that he is helping her to cope, you know, for her to find people to eat. The whole family gets in on it on the season two, even the neighbor, trying to keep her from just, you know, killing willy-nilly. But one of the people she does kill is Nathan Fillion, season one. I was kind of excited because I like Nathan Fillion, and then I think he died in the second episode. She killed him. They went out and buried him in the middle of the desert. I thought that was the end of it. Then season two, they had to go out and move the body because they were going to do, somebody was going to build houses there, and they didn't want him to find the body. Digging him up, his head was still animated. He's still alive. So now they got Nathan Fillion's head in a vase that they're talking to throughout season two. It's just silly funny. If you haven't watched it yet, you might want to jump in on it. The seasons go pretty quick. It's Drew Barrymore is hilarious. Tim Oliphant, I'm indifferent toward him. I can't get him out of my mind from Justified and to play this silly role. I'm having my mind won't wrap around it. But yeah, pick up, go to Netflix. I'm sure they have season one and two. Yeah, it says here, one and two are available for streaming on Netflix. So you can get caught up before season three comes out in 2019. I don't have a specific date, but it's going to be 10 episodes available in 2019. That is, I'm just looking at the chat here. Hey, Tevya, I wonder where is John? Oh, Jonathan Kent? Yeah, I think if that's who you're talking about, he and Lois Lane went with Jor-El to go do whatever they're doing in space. Technological, it was Bendis yet. I believe maybe technically. Yeah, Brian Michael Bendis is one of those guys who just you either love him or you hate him. I've seen him destroy characters and then make other characters amazing. Charmed, yep. Yeah, I'm not sure that Charmed reboot's a horrible idea, but it just goes to show you Hollywood doesn't have any original ideas. I wish it would just come up with original stuff rather than, hey, let's reboot this, or hey, let's just change this a little bit. Yeah, that's right. Buffy also came from it. Like I said, Charmed had a lot of stuff that was associated with it. Yeah, like I said, don't know if that's a terrible idea for the reboot, but I'm happy with the first one. If this reboot is horrible, I just won't watch it anymore. I still have the first one. They didn't ruin that for me by creating another one. So, yeah, you didn't lose anything. Possibly gain something. Okay, guys, that is all I have for this Sunday. Like I told you, slow news day. Not a lot going on. I think I rambled a little bit about some of the other stuff. I'm going to go ahead and sign off today so you can go and get some stuff done out and do your yard work and shopping, whatever else it is you have to do. Please subscribe to this YouTube channel, like this video, comment on this video. If you don't want to watch video, we are available by podcast. Go to talknerdypodcast.com. If you would rather go through something like iTunes, hey, we're available on iTunes. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a good rating. You can catch us on Spotify. You can catch us on pretty much any podcast platform out there. I believe we're on it. So wherever you get your podcast, subscribe to us and leave us a good rating. That is it for Sunday, August 12th. Later, nerds.